little bit of Ray. The best bits.
Quick look at the BAFTAs first, and huge congratulations to the Irish nominated at the BAFTAs this year.
Yeah, so Element Pictures have been involved in the movie Poor Things, and Poor Things got 11 nominations, including Best Film, and Robbie Ryan in Best Cinematography, which is amazing. Barry Keoghan and Cillian Murphy in Leading Actor BAFTA nods, and Paul Mescal in Best Supporting Actor.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So come on, the Irish flying the flag. Congratulations. What are we looking at first for this weekend?
Well, we're going to look at The Holdovers. It's in cinemas in Ireland on Friday. It's the one where Paul Giamatti plays a grumpy teacher who has to mind a handful of students with nowhere to go at a New England prep school during Christmas break.
I saw the trailer for this when I heard nothing about this until I saw him winning something at, was it the Golden Globes?
I think it was, no, it wasn't the Golden, oh, he did win at the Golden Globes, but I think he won at the Critics' Choice or the SAG Awards. I'm not quite sure. So let me double check that.
There's so many of these awards, and then you see him.
Yeah, everyone was surprised because obviously everyone thought Cillian Murphy had it in the bag, but then Paul Giamatti came in and swooped, got the prize, got the award.
It looks really good, and I suppose that's the value of these things, that some of these movies would be overlooked otherwise. Ava, listen, this is The Holdovers.
Sir, I don't understand.
That's glaringly apparent.
I can't fail this class.
Oh, don't sell yourself short, Mr. Coates. I truly believe that you can.
Every year at Barton Academy, students, faculty, and staff depart the campus for a two-week winter break. But there are always an unfortunate few who have nowhere to go for the holidays. They're known as the Holdovers.
Mr. Hunnam.
Hello, Mary.
I heard you got stuck with babysitting duty this year. How'd you manage that?
You know, he used to be a student, right?
Yeah, that's why he knows how to inflict maximum pain on us.
You think I want to be babysitting you? No, I was praying your mother would pick up the phone or your father would arrive in a helicopter or a flying saucer.
My father's dead.
Lucky Momo.
Yeah, so Paul Giamatti's character, the teacher, starts off looking after a bunch of students, and then the students get relocated for Christmas, except for one student called Angus. So then Angus and a chef called Mary, I think, and Paul Giamatti's character all bond because they have to spend the 12 days of Christmas together. It's every kind of cliche of a child that's parents don't want him and that's on his own for Christmas. I did find that. I thought it was really lovely. Like, it was set in the 1970s. Paul Giamatti's brilliant in it. It's not anything that I haven't seen before.
But it's almost, that's almost intentional, isn't it? That it's almost like an homage, or it's a ripoff of, like, even the trailer with the voiceover there is like, one teacher is looking after, and it's like, we haven't heard trailers like this in years.
Yeah, yeah, and it was lovely. Like, I watched it and I was like, that was really nice, you know? And Divine Joy Randolph, she won the Golden Globe for playing Mary as well. And she plays a chef whose son has died in Vietnam. And I just didn't buy it.
Her performance.
I didn't buy it. I thought it was lovely. I thought it was lovely. I think The Holdovers
is
lovely.
Long?
No, it's not that long. It's about 2 hours 15, I think.
Okay.
And I would definitely, it's a really nice watch in the cinema. But yeah, it's
good,
something fun, that
heartwarming,
I,
nice.
Heartwarming. They go on a lovely journey together.
It's called The Holdovers, starring Paul Giamatti, and he's winning awards as well. Well, we don't want him to, but he's winning awards at the moment for his performance in that. Are we doing Laugh Out Loud next?
Let's do Laugh Out Loud. Yep.
This is this is a franchise. There's one of them all over the world. This is Laugh Out Loud Ireland, presented by Graham Norton.
Welcome to Last One Laughing Ireland. Of our finest comedians.
Sorry, what's it called?
He just said Laugh
LOL.
One Laughing Ireland.
What?
It sounded like he said Laugh One Laughing Ireland. Did he not?
Last One Laughing.
Yes.
Not Laugh Out Loud.
No.
Oh. LOL. Last One Laughing.
That is what it's called.
Oh, sorry.
Welcome to Last One Laughing Ireland.
Last One Laughing.
10 of our finest comedians. A very important mission. To make each other laugh whilst resisting the urge to laugh themselves.
I love laughing. I don't know why I'm here.
If you do, you're out of here.
If you laugh now, I think your family get taken away.
Jeez, not again.
All right,
let's go.
Uh-oh. It's Defo on now.
No friendly handshakes.
I'll laugh at that later, because that's a kind thing to do. Because I'm coming to stab them in the back.
Ashleen B there. Who's in it?
Okay, so we've got Ashleen B, Jason Byrne, Tony Cantwell, Dave McSavage, Emma Doran, Amy Huberman, Deirdre O'Kane's in it, Martin Angelo, Paul Tylak. There's a whole host.
Wow,
Jason Byrne, did I say?
It.
Yeah, there's 10 comedians. And I've seen all these comedians in different guises over the last, let's say, 10 or 15 years, whether it's chat shows, whether it's movies, whether it's, you know, talk shows, whether they're actual comedy gigs. But I've never seen them in this particular scenario. So you've got 10 comedians, and their main prerogative is that they they cannot laugh. They have to make the other comedians laugh, but they can't laugh themselves. If you smile, Graham Norton comes in and gives you a yellow card.
Okay.
And if you laugh or you get two yellow cards, obviously you get a red card and you're out. So it's set over 6 hours. And
one of the things that I've learned over the years, you know, generally interviewing comedians or meeting them or whatever, or going to gigs, is that they're not funny all the time. Well, of course, nobody is.
No one's funny
all the time.
Yeah.
So I wonder what that's like. And they would all, like, what I mean, 10 of them?
And they probably know each other as well from all, I mean, yeah. Like the comedy circle in Ireland is very small.
Yeah. They'd have different processes though as well, yeah. Of coming up with jokes.
And that's what they do in the show as well. So each of them get a chance to kind of make their fellow comedians laugh by doing different sketches and different shows. And then also the production company itself, they throw things into the mix in the group to throw the group off and to make them laugh. Okay. I don't know, can I reveal, because I've watched the first 3 episodes. I don't know, can I reveal, but there's a very nostalgic throwback to anyone who grew up in Ireland during the late 80s and the early 90s. And I also think as well that Amy Huberman has a little bit of an edge because she's an actress, isn't she? So she can kind of go into the zone. Aisling B, if Aisling B only concentrated, she could potentially win this. But she is I just imagine being in a room with her. And she just comes across like she's great crack. Jason Byrne as well, he's always on. And Tony Cantwell does a particular sketch to try and make the other comedians laugh. And it's very, very funny.
Last one laughing.
Yeah.
Isn't the problem though is that Graham Norton's presenting it. So
can
you're
I just
like,
say?
Oh, I'd love to do Last One Laughing. If you're a comedian, you'd be like, oh, I'd love to do it. Then you find a Graham Norton, the funniest Irish man to have ever lived, is presenting. You'd be like, do you know what? I think I'll leave it.
Do you know what though? It's worth it because the winner wins €50,000 for their chosen charity.
Cool. It's on Amazon, is that right?
This Friday, it's on Amazon. I actually can't wait to get into my pajamas on Friday and sit down and watch the next episode.
Last One Laughing, presented by Graham Norton, starring all of our favourite Irish comedians. Last One Laughing, Ireland, of course. Amazon Prime this weekend. So, Kira, you were just saying there a minute ago that the Artful Dodger show on Disney Plus it's the character from the classic musical.
Okay, so it's a sequel to Charles Dickens' Oliver Twist. Is that what you were trying to get out there?
A sequel to Oliver?
Yeah.
So what? It was just like, no, they just didn't have the budget to make a sequel to Oliver all these years.
It's set 15 years after the end of Charles Dickens' Oliver Twist. Now, I'm presuming they're talking about the book.
Oh, right. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, right, the Artful Dodger was one of the kids, wasn't he?
He was indeed, yeah. And he's played by your man Thomas Brodie Sangster. He was Liam Neeson's kid from Love Actually, and I'll never not know him from that role. He's also in Game of Thrones.
Have a listen. This is Artful Dodger on Disney Plus.
Hello, Dodge.
What the hell are you doing here, Fagin?
Do they hang escaped convicts here?
This is London, Jack. There's nowhere to hide.
If I don't come up with a year's worth of income, I get my hand chopped off.
Which one?
My choice.
Well, there's something.
I'm not going back to thieving.
Pickpocketing. He used to live for it. Now that would require artfulness.
Where did the notion for this come from?
I have no idea.
We seriously need to do a follow-up.
Yeah, no, it's a weird one and it's a smart one, I guess, but it's a bit of a jump because 15 years, obviously, after the events of Oliver Twist, Jack Dawson's Dawkins passed now. He's left pickpocketing in London behind and he's now a surgeon in Australia.
A surgeon.
Wow. He's a surgeon in Australia. Yeah, but like a, you know.
Yeah, using a.
Not
a,
in a posh hospital kind of, you know. I mean, on the back streets of Australia, he's a surgeon. But he's in trouble when we meet him because you don't make a lot of money being a surgeon in Victorian Australia, if you know what I'm trying to say. And he owes a gambler £26. But then Fagin comes back into his life after not having seen him for 15 years. And the two kind of team up to try and make the money back that he owes and whatnot. The only thing, I loved this. I really did. Okay. It was just something different to kind of look at. The only thing is the set lets itself down a little bit, lets the TV show down a little
bit. The set?
The actual set, yeah. It was very obvious it was a set.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that kind of it's a temporary thing for telly.
Yeah, and then once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it. But all of the episodes are up on Disney Plus now if you're looking for something to get into your pyjamas and watch this weekend.
That's this week. How many episodes are there? Is it long?
There's a lot.
Put you on the spot. Is it like 15?
A little less time on Tinder, more time researching wouldn't hurt.
Can I just say I'm not on Tinder, guys? Thank you very much.
She's not on Tinder, guys.
Guys,
she's on Hinge.
Kira thinks it's important to point out to everyone that she's not on Tinder. Hearts breaking across the nation. Guys, stop everything.
You're going to have to slide into her DMs
Insta. Sorry, guys. Kira's not on Tinder. Hang on. Artful Dodger. You don't mind waiting, do you?
No, it's fine. Are you looking for the song, Ray? Is that what you're doing?
Or the amount of episodes that are on Disney Plus.
I'm trying to find out how many episodes there are.
This lad, Thomas Brody Sangster, he looks like Harry Styles, but slightly less good looking.
He looks like Harry Styles.
He does. If you look at the photographs of the man's face.
I haven't been unable to see him, unsee him as the little boy, Liam Neeson's son in Love Actually, and no matter what he does. And even when I was watching it this morning, he didn't really get that much older, did he?
No, he is 33 though.
He's going to age like a fine wine.
He sure still looks like a child in the photograph here.
But what I'm trying to say. Like,
I'm after finding it online. I've just found Kira's not on Tinder.
Is that on Match.com?
And there are 8 episodes in the series. Very quickly, Mean Girls. This is not Mean Girls. This is a different version of Mean Girls. They've rebooted Mean Girls, but wasn't that just like 5 minutes ago, Mean Girls? The movie.
Well, wasn't 5 minutes ago because the famous, iconic Mean Girls movie came out in 2004.
20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot me. It's not a reboot. It is
a reboot.
It's a karaoke version.
It is a reboot, but it's also a musical.
Oh, great.
What was that?
Oh Lord, it's the queen bee.
Regina George.
Don't look her in the eye!
You could be really hot if we changed, like, everything. I met a guy in the
summer and I left him in the spring. Welcome to Health and Human Sexuality.
You're learning things now that I don't know how to teach.
You're my pet Katie.
Incorrect.
You have to pick a French name.
Chanel.
No.
Celine Dion.
No.
Beyoncé.
You love it.
So as you can imagine, this is a 2023 version, or 2024, sorry, I forgot we're in the new year, version of a movie, and it's a take on Mean Girls. I loved Mean Girls at the time.
Yeah.
It was a very funny movie. Some of the most iconic lines are still being used as memes all across the internet. I'm a huge fan of Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. Tina Fey is obviously in this movie as well. I'm just not one for a remix, and I think that I've grown out of my love of musicals, which I'd say my mother, father and brother are like, yes, finally. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think that you should take on something as iconic that was, you know, Mean Girls 2004.
It doesn't seem to make sense. Yeah, I don't know how it makes sense. Is it just
that's what filmmakers are doing all the time. Like, it's the exact same premise. You've got Katie Heron, and she's welcomed into the top social food chain by an elite group of popular girls in school. And the Queen Bee is called Regina George, just like the 2004 movie. And I think the only difference really is that it's set in 2024 and there's songs in it. And there's differing reviews about this. Some people are like, it's fun, it's camp, it's Mean Girls 2024. And then other people are like, a friend of mine went to see it and she said that once people started singing, you could hear everyone collectively groan in the cinema.
Every time there was singing started.
Every time there was singing. I think it'll be something really fun to watch in the cinema this weekend.
It's something. Well, there seems to be a push.
John Hamm's a teacher in it. There you go. That will get me back to school.
Okay. I was going to say there seems to be a push to create these movies that are like concerts. They're like gigs. So it's like if there's, all the girlies will go along and we'll I'd have our Prosecco beforehand and we'll be dancing in the aisles.
This is what Barbie has done now.
That they all need to be chasing that sort of dancing down the front.
That collective groan you're talking about is a global phenomenon now because people are taking their cameras into the cinema, filming the crowd, and as soon as the characters are talking, having a normal conversation, and then there's a pause, and somebody bursts into song, massive groan all the way through the cinema audience. Nobody likes it.
Guys, read a synopsis and check if there's songs in the film first before you go along. Kira King, pleasure.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Kira. A little bit of Ray. The best bits. Catch Ray Foley from 2 p.m. weekdays on Today FM. Ray.
Yeah. I love the show. Hey.